Well, you know, Putin putting a shawl over the president, President Xi's wife in China, you know, the Chinese wife of President Xi. I guess they're both Chinese. Estelle, I think her name is. Estelle Xi. Maybe a good move, but putting a shawl over Obama was going too far. Okay. So anyways, what do you know? Okay, but together.
Live from the Minetta Terrace in Madison, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. Okay. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's the hilarious W. Kamal Bell, plus all the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who feels like Kim Kardashian's spiritual advisor. It's Michael Feldman.
I don't know what to tell him. Oh, hi, Kim. All right. I got it. And then they, you know, can I just unwind this? Excuse me, just a second. I can't. I got a new headphone after all these years. It is like a vice grip.
Well,
to
see,
my
now
head.
You're now. Last week you were complaining the cord was too long, and Now look what happened. It's not
what?
Long enough.
I know. I said it's too long, so they bundled it up, but then it doesn't reach my head now. It's pulling my head into the microphone, and it affects my entire approach to radio. This is. I'm just got to unwind this. This shouldn't take too long here. They're really good headphones because I can actually hear my thoughts.
We'll cut this out of the tape.
Oh, yeah. If you've ever had a
I can hear my thoughts
tangled
from my cerebellum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If that's where they're from. Okay. All right. Here we go. All right. So how are you? Pretty good then? Nice having here. We got turned cold, you know, that first cold snap. It's hard to adjust to, you know, even though it's happened every year of my life living here. It's like a shock. Cold weather. Who would have thought it would get cold? It was so nice for so long. And it takes me like 6 months to adjust to the change in weather. And by then it's June and it's okay. Okay, so Putin and the shawl, I think we were talking about. Okay, so that convoy of Russian tanks moving into Ukraine, they were carrying shawls for soldiers. Shoulders. That's Sister Susie. So... In other news, it isn't hard not to identify with that little comet lander, Philae, traveling 40 million miles. Get one shot at it and your harpoon doesn't fire. Probably psychological after being ejected by Rosetta. You hit the target and you bounce a mile up in the air and land in a crevice. It's a morality tale. Just enough energy for one last drill. Why explore space when it's the same as staying here? I don't get that. So that's very interesting. China has agreed to blow all their emissions into Russia as a retribution for Putin messing with President Xi's wife. Chinese emissions, you know, half hour later, you feel like emitting again. Yeah, I was just saying that. Plus, they're on the other side of the globe, so you know half their emissions are nocturnal. You won't even see them. You knew that was coming, obviously. The Republicans who don't believe the government has any right to curb emissions are seeing red. They told the president ceremonial duties only, and damn few of those. So he's been warned, and then he goes curbs emissions. Republican majority are feeling their oats. They will change the EPA to the ERA, Environmental Rejection Agency. Not only build the Keystone Sludge Pipeline, but let it empty into the Mississippi, greatly reducing transportation costs. We just float them down to the refineries. Obamacare will be amended to exclude all pre-existing, existing, and pretty likely to get conditions. So that should make it a lot better. In other news still, the Mormon church admits that it was originally called the Church of Latter-day Wives. They said that founder Joseph Smith had up to 40 monogamous wives. So the key word is that they were all monogamous. By now, of course, even the youngest would be 214. So I don't see the problem. In fairness, our own David, among my people, had a lot more than just Bathsheba. David like had a pyramid scheme of wives. Jeez. Just at the top. Because the Ten Commandments said don't covet neighbor's wives, it said nothing about collecting them. He would collect them. He was a collector. Well, there's a thin line between monotony and monogamy, I always say. So. I myself had two wives, but sequentially. So could have saved a lot of time, you know, having them at once. The first house in Hawaii has been incinerated by lava, and you know the guy forgot to pay the lava insurance. I bet he did. You got to check it. It's not covered by homeowners, so check your policy in case you have lava heading your way. It's taken this long for Kim Kardashian to get it all back in. Just about there now. That's why they oiled it. You know, it was really hard to get that back in. But, you know, Kim Kardashian's rear end sure puts things in perspective. Okay, maybe not for you, but... And now we know what happened to Chris Humphries. He's still in there. Oh, yeah. Kanye, you better watch your step. It's slippery out there. A lot like landing on a comet, as a matter of fact. Let's see. The other news besides Kim Kardashian, long-term marijuana use linked to abnormalities in the far-out region of the brain. Around the country, Ebola's better, but my Republican is inflamed. On the net neutrality front, Ted Cruz says, let them eat dial-up. Okay. The Russian ruble has plunged so far. Putin was actually hoping China's Madam Z would tip when he helped with the shawl. They need money there. That's what I'm saying. The post office, the snail mail was hacked. The post office, did you see that? By a stopper shopper denial of service attack. That's where the stopper shoppers don't stop. They just keep coming and can't get any other mail. Taking the dare, Taylor Swift is greasing up, so that's, stay tuned for that. That's interesting. Kardashian dare, that would be. Cake boss Bobby Velastro is arrested for driving while frosted. It says here, more Thanksgiving news, more turkeys are planning to travel this Thanksgiving. Those that aren't already frozen in their tracks. This year, of course, Republicans deported the president's turkey before he could pardon it. You know what I'm saying. Speaking of which, Arkansas Governor Mike Beebe pardons his son on a drug conviction, but he's still grounded, mister. And here in Wisconsin, with control of both houses, Governor Scott Walker decides to take the Capitol condo. Condo. They don't really need it for a legislature anyway. It's going to go condo is what I'm saying here. It'd be a tough one to heat, though, wouldn't it? That's all the news that is, and thank you so much. Or just so much. Taking it condo. Don't need it as a legislature is the point, but it's all foregone. All those conclusions. Well, we've got Kamal Bell. He's on the road right now. He's going to be here later today, but currently he's trapped in St. Paul, Minnesota. And I think he just managed to escape Iowa. Is that pretty accurate, Kamal?
Yes. Yes. That sounds almost like my name, yes.
Yes. Make it easy on someone. Spell it the way it's pronounced.
Okay, then call me Mike.
Okay.
It's Kamal.
Kamal.
Like Kamal.
Okay. So the W must have been, you know, is the first actual name, like, really bad, like Wilbur or something like that?
It's Walter, which is close to
Walter. Yeah. Okay, that's what I'm calling you, man. That I can do, Walter.
Oh, yeah. No, yes, it's good to have a name that black people can do and a name that white people can do.
So how's the tour going so far?
It's going great. I've been in Iowa City last night, in St. Paul, Minnesota. Yeah. I've been in Oklahoma City.
Yeah. Do you specialize your jokes and routines and stuff? Like, if you're in Minnesota, have you got, like, Minnesota jokes that you use?
Well, because I talk about race a lot and racism a lot in my act, whenever I get to a city, the first thing I do is Google the name of that city plus the word racism just to see what I'm in for.
How'd that work out in Minnesota, then?
There. I basically stayed in my hotel because they've had some issues.
And you're coming to Wisconsin. What did you find there?
I'll do it on my way there. So as we drive into town, I'll pull it up, and if it's too bad, we'll just keep driving.
Okay, keep driving, keep going on. And so, and of course, you'll be at the High Noon tonight in Madison, and on Sunday you'll be at Shank Hall in Milwaukee. So a lot coming up here. And are you hitting the Denzel Washington, the greatest actor of all time, pretty hard on the tour?
No, that's just my podcast that we just started.
I know.
Me and my friend Kevin just realized that not enough people realize that Denzel Washington is the greatest actor of all time, period.
Yeah.
So we decided to name our podcast Denzel Washington's the greatest actor of all time, period.
Yeah. I just saw Glory again, actually. He was great in that. But, you know, the problem with that movie is Matthew Broderick. Don't you think?
Why do you hate on Ferris Bueller?
Yeah, Ferris Bueller commanding the troops in the Civil War. I mean, that's what you want to see.
Well, they did lose the battle, so, you know, clearly he didn't do a great job.
I know, but, you know, that was a mistake. And isn't that sort of the problem? He takes over all the movies that he's in, right? Just his presence alone. So he doesn't really have to. I mean, if you're up against Matthew Broderick.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying Matthew Broderick takes over the movies.
No. Denzel.
I don't recognize that. Yeah, Ferris Bueller was the last time he took over a movie.
Yeah. Right. That was the last good movie, too. If you took that one over, but the rest is something.
Man, I never thought I'd call into this show and start hating on Matthew Broderick. This has really gone a different direction.
Yeah, no, I don't hate him. I'm just saying, like, in Glory in particular, because Denzel is in there.
Yeah, well, he takes over movies because, you know, as I said, greatest actor of all time, period.
Yeah. Although he's
he does that cool thing in Glory where he does the one tier. We call it the Glory tier.
Yeah.
That many actors cannot pull off.
What is it?
Well, there's a scene in the movie where he's crying, but he's able to cry only out of one eye at a time. Which, as we all know, is kind of amazing.
It's impossible, as we all know. So that's
why they gave him the Academy Award for that movie. Just because, how did he cry out of one eye at one time?
Yeah. Although, you know, the Manchurian Candidate, that was, first of all, they shouldn't have remade that movie. Don't you agree? I mean, it was a perfect movie when they made it, right? Don't you think?
I actually haven't seen the original.
Oh.
I was a little bit young for that, and I wasn't born yet.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
But I mean, I will check it out. I will check it out, and I'll compare, and I'll get back to you.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll help you out here a little bit, so you don't have to watch.
I know it's Frank Sinatra, and I know.
Yes,
are you one of those people who thinks Frank Sinatra can't do anything wrong?
No, I've never said that. He can do a lot of things wrong, but you know, he's playing the Frank Sinatra part in this movie, and that's very difficult to duplicate.
Yeah, but that he took on that challenge. How many actors want to play the Frank Sinatra part in a movie?
That's true.
It's a big challenge.
That's a good point. So I thought he was good in that. And then Mo Better Blues and like that. But and I thought he was great in Saint Elsewhere.
Yes, exactly.
He ruled.
I've already convinced you. You don't even need to listen to the podcast.
Yeah. But I think Don Cheadle might be the greatest actor of all time, personally.
I mean, Don Cheadle's good. I'm not trying to hate on Don Cheadle.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll hate on Matthew Broderick, but I'm not going to hate on Don Cheadle.
Because he was in that movie with him. Which one was that?
The Devil in a Blue Dress.
Was it?
Yes, that's a classic. We talked about it on the podcast. That's considered to be. There's certain movies that are called Black People Homework, where as a black person you have to see them, or else you're gonna go to the family reunion and they'd be like, "You didn't see Devil in a Blue Dress? Put the potato salad down and get the heck out of here."
Yeah, or run out and rent the movie and bring it back.
Yeah,
yeah. Does that actually happen? I wonder.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Remember the Titans? That's hard to
Yeah. That's And he's done several careers worth of great films, but I just feel like me and my friend Kevin felt like he hadn't gotten the accolades. So we're like, people just need to know. So every week we prove it by reviewing one of his movies in alphabetical order.
But who was the white coach in that?
The white coach in that? I don't remember who that was. Who was it?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember. Anybody know here? Remember the Titans? Remembering the Titans? White coach? Okay, so no one remembers him even because Denzel Washington was in that movie. They can't remember the guy who played the white coach.
Well, it's called Remember the Titans, Remember the Angry White Coach.
Remember the Angry White Coach. With the greatest scene of all time, the banana scene was in that movie. Do you remember that?
Wow, you just prepared for this by watching all the Denzel Washington movies?
I did because I thought it was going to be like a big thing we could talk about. And
oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. Is this like a hard period of time to make, especially since you deal with race and humor in race, and it's hard to be sort of humorous about race currently in America, don't you think?
No, I mean, I think it's like if race and racism was a stock, it's at an all-time high. I would invest.
Really?
Yeah. It's just, there's a lot going on in this country, and certainly some of it is hard to deal with, but some of it is I think making people laugh about it is what makes it easier to deal with and easier to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. And your audiences agree?
You know, there's mixed results.
Well, I get those. I know what that's all about.
Well, that's why I like to have audiences that are mixed across all sort of racial lines, because then you get people. Some people are like, "I can't believe you said that," and some people are like, "Thank God somebody finally said that."
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and do you do a lot of the family humor? Because I know you just had a baby girl, right?
Yeah, I got a. Yeah. I had a. My daughter just turned a month old today.
Oh, congratulations!
Yeah, she's back home in Berkeley, yeah. California, where I live, and I'm in St. Paul, Minnesota, which makes me a bad father.
Yeah, I know that feeling too.
Yeah, yeah.
When I would go on with my girls, I had two girls, when they were little, I would, before I left anywhere, I would take a picture, like a selfie of us, you know, just in case something happened to me on the plane or something. So they'd have this image of their father. So it's a bad feeling in the beginning.
It is a bad feeling. Sometimes I take it out on crowds. Why aren't you my two daughters?
You got two, huh? This is two.
I got two. I got a 3.5-year-old and one that's a month old. Yeah, and my wife is white, so I have those mixed race kids that are all the rage right now.
Yeah, all the rage.
Yeah, having a mixed race kid. I don't know if anybody there has a mixed race kid, but the way I would describe people's reaction to a mixed race kid, mm-hmm. It's kind of like, remember the first time you saw an iPad? And you're like, oh my God, that's amazing. It's from the future. How do I get one of those? That's how people react to my daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, oh my God, that's amazing. How do I get one of those? She's got your nose, but the skin is completely different. Oh my God.
Yeah. You know, this is related to nothing about that, really, but I was watching the Mills Brothers the other day. And you know, the Mills Brothers is a great singing team from the 30s. And the Mills Brothers always looked Jewish to me. You know, and I mean, no one ever spoke about it or hinted anything about, you know, that they were part Jewish or something like that, or, you know, a Jewish parent or something. But I could swear to God, because they looked like a lot like my brothers. The Feldman brothers physically resembled the Mills Brothers. And it's never, you know, in that day and age, you couldn't actually deal with how that might have been a possibility or if it was, because the Feldman brothers could not sing worth a damn. But
did that affect your ability to enjoy the Mills Brothers because you were trying to crack the Jewish puzzle?
No, I just liked them, but, you know, it affected my feeling about my brothers because they couldn't sing. You know,
well, see, nobody really ever has that problem. That guy looks black to me, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think that guy's black. I can't really tell. If only there was a way to tell who was black and who wasn't.
Right. Well, I mean, in those days, in the 30s, whatever, mixed race was not fashionable, but, you know, it was also there, you know.
It was there, yeah. It just hadn't, you know, like all fashion trends, it takes them a while.
It takes
first
a while.
First time you see a pair of bell bottoms, you're like, that's weird. Then 6 months later, I gotta have one.
Yeah.
That's what it's like with black people, with mixed race kids.
Yeah.
Now everybody wants a mixed race kid. So me and my wife are going into production.
Not a bad job.
Artisanal mixed race children coming soon.
If you can get it, it's not a bad job. Yeah. Totally Biased, is that no longer on?
No, yeah, that's what we like to call is canceled. That was a TV show I had for about a year and a half. It's gone. But thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, you're welcome. Just like totally canceled is what you're saying.
Yes, let's make puns about my failures. Thank you. I appreciate that.
No, well, listen, we can trade failures if you want. I think I got you beat on some of these. Did you enjoy that role? You're more of an introducer and a host and that sort of thing. Is that, or are you more comfortable as doing stand-up?
No, I love stand-up much more. It's a much more intimate experience. I mean, I was happy that we did Totally Biased. We tried to really get a lot of progressive and liberal issues out there and using comedy, and we did it for about a year and a half, and then they moved us to the FXX network, which many people at that point didn't have, and now it's basically the home of Simpsons reruns. Good to be out there. But because I'm a black dude and I had a canceled TV show, now I get to be one of those African-American folk tales you hear about. You know, where the black people go, the man couldn't handle your truth bombs. I'm like, that's right. It had nothing to do with the fact we had bad ratings. It was the truth bombs.
Yeah. Now, you don't do a lot of heavily sexual stuff, though, in your stand-up. And I'm not saying that black comedians tend to do that, but they're quite...
You just tricked me. I'm not saying they tend to do that, but everybody's like, yeah, they tend to do that.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, in watching some of the, black comedian. I mean, I'm always amazed. I love it because I watch him and I say, these are things I could never say as a white person to a white audience. These are areas we don't talk about even at home, you know, a lot of this stuff. But do you do any of that? You don't really take that approach.
No, I mean, I certainly am not. I don't censor myself, and there's times I talk about sex, but, you know, I feel like that's not the area where I'm the best at, you know. Let me explain sex to you people. I'm in the injustice and racism area, not in the let's talk about sex area.
There's a lot of injustice.
Although, having talked about my family, sometimes that leads to talking about sex because, as I said, you know, having a mixed race kid is basically, you know, people say that when you're black and you have a child with a white lady that you're somehow letting down the black race. And I'm like, no, by having a child with a white lady, I've taken the possibility of another white person right out of the mix.
Yeah.
That's right. It's like Malcolm X, by any means necessary.
There you go. There's a crowd winner. Depends on the crowd, I suppose.
Yeah.
And now, are you from Berkeley originally, or?
No, I've lived in the Bay Area for about 15 years, but I was born in Palo Alto, but I moved around a lot as a kid.
Palo Alto. So are you like a tech, Silicon Valley kid?
When I was born in Palo Alto, no, I didn't grow up there. I was only there for 2 months. When I was born in Palo Alto, the revolution my parents thought was coming was the, you know, the black power revolution, but little did they know it was the tech revolution.
Yeah.
They should have named me Apple instead of Kamau.
Yeah. Then because I pronounce that would be a little easier. All right, so that's cool. And now the title of the tour is Oh Everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, because when people ask me what's wrong, I just go, Oh Everything.
Yeah.
Because when you watch the news and you get, you know, when the news tells you what you need to be afraid of, what's going on in the world, and it's hard to focus on one problem. So I just like to sort of go, Oh Everything. It's just easier.
Yeah. Is this extemporaneous, a lot of this stuff? I mean, you write your material, I presume. But do you stick to it, and do you extemporize from that?
I mean, yeah, like I said, I will actually do my due diligence when I go into a new town and try to, like, turn on the local news and pick up a newspaper and Google things about that town that I find interesting. And then the first few minutes of my show, I'll be talking about what I think about the town. So I like to – that's the thing I like about stand-up. It's a real intimate connection where you get to see people in the face and see how they respond to jokes and then take it from there. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of improv, because a lot of my jokes do tend to make people go. Sometimes they get upset or start to question, and then I respond to that. And at the end, I try to make sure we all hug.
Is there a hug in at the end?
There's a hug. Yeah, we hug it out at the end, you know, just cause which is the way all conversations should end. It would be a much better world if at the end you just like, let's hug it out.
They should start with hugs, then you wouldn't have the conversation, I think.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm, sexy.
A lot of situations. But, all right, if you take, all right, like Ferguson, for example. How can you make how do you get a funny edge to that or a funny take?
This is such a funny thing to talk about over the phone to a studio audience I can't see.
Yeah. They're all smiling. They're very.
I feel like the degree of difficulty on this is so high.
Is it okay? Can we start with something less?
No, I mean it's. Ferguson. I'll tell you my thoughts about it, and then people out there will choose how they respond to it.
Sure.
Like I was. You know, hoping that Barack Obama would give a big speech because, you know, that's the I ordered a black president for situations just like that. You know, when black people ordered up a black president, we're like, that's what we need a black president for. And then it took him 4 days to respond after Ferguson sort of was in flames and the cops ran out in the streets. And my friends were like, are you happy he's going to say something now? I was like, no, not unless he says it's standing on a pile of burning cop cars.
Yeah.
With his shirt off and his tie around his head. Screaming, regulators, time to ride up.
That could happen at this point. You may be at that point. No.
I hope so. I hope the last year is just he grows his afro out and wears shades at every press conference. That's my hope. But. Yeah.
You know, in this last election, this is off the topic here again, but the Scott Walker was saying that President Obama came to Milwaukee where he had 99% of the vote, and this is a truthometer thing. They had this truthometer in Scott Walker said he came to Milwaukee where he had 99% of the vote, and he could not even increase that this time around, which means he would have had to get 100% of the vote. He would have had everybody, you know, even people who didn't know who they were voting for or didn't know couldn't see the page, you know, the balance. And the truthometer in the Milwaukee Sentinel, this was, it went off 100%, absolutely true. But it was a it was nonsensical. It made no sense at all. He couldn't up it from 99% by making his appearance there.
Yeah. Now, did he have 99% of the Milwaukee vote? That seems high even the beginning.
Yeah, I don't know. That might be a lie, actually. It might have started with a lie.
Yeah, yeah. Barack Obama doesn't even have 99% of the black vote. If he doesn't have that, I can't believe he has 99% of the Milwaukee vote.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you mean, but that sort of thing is just the way, you know, the truthometers. Have you seen those in politics? They have them in your
Yeah, no, I've seen those. Yeah, and you guys seem to have a love hate relationship with Scott Walker out there.
Yes. See, now there's one of my issues. Where I'm looking at them and seeing what I can say and what I can't say. So
yeah, it seems like maybe it's an abusive relationship. Maybe the citizens of Wisconsin, Scott Walker, need to have some sort of like mediation.
Yeah, are you willing to do it? You're going to be in here. You can do it.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm there to do.
Yeah.
To mediate the discussion.
Yeah.
Stop hurting each other.
Yeah. That would be a good thing. When you play around the country. Now, you're playing in Shank Hall, which is a pretty big club in Milwaukee, and down here, a smaller club. Are you doing some of the bigger venues, too? You playing the big venues as well?
No, I'm trying to keep it as small and intimate as possible, you know. When your TV show gets canceled, your ambitions change. So, I really like the intimate experience of small spaces because you can really see everybody and connect with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is the people forget how good live performance is. They think that if they watch it on their computer, that it's the same. And so I really work hard within these small venues to let people know that we're all in the room together. It's not TV. You can't pause me or TiVo me or watch me later. This is actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
You might have a black guy might walk off the stage and touch you in the middle of the show. You know, it's in 3D.
Yeah. When playing like mostly black audiences, do they like what your take on things, or do they have a different reaction to it? Is it hard for them to deal with some of these issues in the way you do?
The answer is yes. I mean, they like it, and they also have different reactions. I mean, it just depends on where I'm at and who I'm at. It's a weird thing. There's like all kinds of black people out there, and so some of them will like what I'm saying, and some of them won't. And I think I think that's the fun for me, is that I'm just saying a lot of the stuff is just my opinion. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's the way to be. I mean, I believe it's right, but it's just my opinion, and that's why it's good to, you know, the problem with this country is we don't have a lot of awkward discussions about the painful things until they get angry. So I like to have those awkward discussions in comedy.
Gee, that's what I've been doing all these years, too, without even putting a name to it. I've been having awkward, awkward discussions in comedy.
Yes, me and you, making things awkward.
That's it. Yeah.
I can tell from that awkward laugh in the audience, this has been awkward.
Yeah. Oh, everything.
Oh, everything, indeed, sir.
Yeah, yeah. Through
Matthew Broderick. I think we've covered it all right now.
Yeah. Besides everything being wrong or whatever, everything is happening, do you see some light at the end of the tunnel that we're in, and on race matters and other things?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think I don't think I would be doing this if I wasn't somehow optimistic. And I have two daughters, and so I have hope for the future.
Yeah.
I just feel like we have to, you know, we have to sort of fight in the present to get to the better future, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I certainly am optimistic about things. I mean, nobody could have when Barack Obama first took office. If somebody had told you that 33 states would have marriage equality, that would have sounded insane. And yet here we are now, you know. So there's a lot of stuff to look towards, but I think if we get caught up in celebrating everything all the time, you know, we'll miss all the bad things that are happening. So we have to pay attention.
Yeah. And as far as Barack Obama, is your feeling that he should take off the shirt and get on top of the police car, the burning police car? Or?
Yeah, I mean, it's not for justice, just for my comedy act, you know.
that would be helpful.
Just so I have some easy jokes to write.
Yeah.
But no, I think I personally would like to see. I mean, like a lot of people, we would like to see a more engaged, a more full-throated, a more a more 1970s Shaft era Barack Obama presidency. You know?
Yeah, Shaft.
I think that, you know, sometimes it feels like he's a little bit too managed, and I think he's clearly nervous about the race issue, because when he got into office and he said that the cop acted stupidly, you know, Fox News told him to come into their office and he listened to them, and so he doesn't like to talk about race issues anymore. I mean, he really steps around them very lightly, and I don't think it's the time to step around things lightly like that. So, you know, that's why I said I hope he grows out his afro, puts on shades, wears light brown leather jackets for the last year of his presidency. You know, lets Michelle Obama do all the press conferences. You know, even that would be a big deal.
Yeah. Have you seen the? I'm sure you have this. The SNL thing where they have a round table, a black TV show. They go around. They talk about all the things that you know. It's kind of the shortcomings of the Obama administration and the man personally. And they go around and they say, would you change your vote for him? And they all say, no. You know, they all say,
yeah.
No, nothing has changed in their feelings about him. So
I totally plan on campaigning for him to be president a third time. I'm totally working on that.
And the library, maybe get involved in the library.
Yeah.
That's coming up too. Maybe we'll put it out there by you in Palo Alto.
There we go.
Yeah. Do you get back there much in Palo Alto?
No, Mark Zuckerberg owns too much of it. It's hard to get back down there. You have to have your Google papers, your Facebook papers to go down there.
Yeah, that's good. So now, are you driving into Wisconsin, or are you going to fly from St. Paul?
No, we're going to drive in. We're going to get in the car and fight the weather and get there hopefully in time for tonight's show.
Okay, it's going to be great. The high noon tonight here in Madison and tomorrow at Schenck Hall in Milwaukee. Thanks very much. Nice talking to you.
Thank you. Good. This was a good, awkward conversation. I appreciate it.
It was very awkward, but I enjoyed it.
Thank you. Me too.
Most of mine are, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, look for us in a town near you. W. Jamal Bell. Or Walter, as I like to call him. Walter will be out there in a town near you. All right. Okay, then, there. Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
John, Jeff, you okay?
I get a view, a different view on, you know, that Putin thing with the...
Yo.
I think he saw the HBO special on James Brown, and he wants to be the Cape Man. And he's just trying it out on different people to see how it goes. You know, he wants to be the Cape Man.
Yeah, did you see that? It'd be the perfect Cape Man. Yeah, Putin. So he's going to try that on various world leaders' wives and things?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Terrific. All right, so, and that was good, but I see Clyde in that special, by the way.
Yeah.
Clyde looked good, and he said the right things. He got a little credit for his 1-3 as opposed to 2-4.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
That was a breakthrough.
Yeah.
Everyone thought he was playing it wrong. He was doing the 1-3, right?
I don't think anybody thought he was playing it wrong, but
yeah,
it's a different, yeah.
Yeah, that's the funk. Funk comes from that, doesn't it?
I guess so. Some of that discussion, I didn't really...
You didn't
catch it's all kind of combined together, so.
Well, he said he never made more than $300. I thought I related to it.
Yeah.
We're getting fine.
The fines.
We're talking about the special that was on, was that HBO?
HBO, yeah.
And Clyde Stubblefield, our friend and drummer, when we were on the road, played in the James Brown band, and he was one of the people instrumental for the whole funky beat thing, at least the drum beat. But he said James Brown used to fine them. If he missed it, and then he would always screw up what he was doing, so he'd get them off beat or whatever, or they wouldn't get the down beat right or something like that. And so if he goes like this, puts up five fingers, that means $5. And so by the end of the show, you could have like no salary at all because you get, you know, fine five or six times. And he did it just to lower his costs. And anyhow, so okay, what do you got here now?
This is a tune, this is a standard called A Lovely Way to Spend an Evening.
Okay. Jeff has been on the bass as well.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Okay. I'm here on a third date. Oh, boy. Those are the days. Third date is getting serious. You're asking Allison Keene. And I think, is it with John Reed? Because Allison Keene says, she's a veterinarian in Milwaukee, she says, I'm here on a third date. We're going to the Mustard Museum next. So, you know, I guess would that be counted as a fourth date then? You get to the Mustard Museum? And wait a second. Okay, yeah, we got to meet this guy. Can I get you to stand up just so it makes it a little easier on me than otherwise? I get this. disc thing bothers me. How are you? Pretty good?
Hi. Good.
Yeah. Third date?
No? Yes.
She's excited to be on the radio.
Yeah. You not so much, though.
Right? No, I'm fine. Yeah.
And you say the second date was where?
We went grocery shopping.
Woodman's. Woodman's.
Isn't that kind of jumping the gun then? Or?
It was lovely. We had a good time.
30 cans of sardines.
No.
30 cans of sardines on your second date? What? This is getting out of hand.
Six cans.
Six cans?
Yeah, six.
Did that strike you as unusual, or were you expecting that from him? At that point, you didn't really know him that well.
It was all right.
See, I have a cat, but I don't give him any sardines, because those are for me.
Okay, so why did you mention the cat then?
I don't know. Tell him what you did on a Friday.
No, wait a second. The first date must have been spectacular.
Just lunch.
You had lunch on the first date? Where did you go?
Sprecher's.
Sprecher's?
Yeah.
Like Geneva?
Yeah. Geneva. Yeah. Nice. Yep. Yeah, it's a nice place.
Where did you actually meet?
Online.
On the internet.
Oh, on the internet.
OK Cupid. Yeah.
OK Cupid?
Yeah.
Wasn't J-Date or one of those? It was OK Cupid? Christian Mingle, yeah. I guess you have to choose, really. I always wanted to go on Christian Mingle just to see what I could. I'd like to mingle with some Christians that I know, but I never have. And so you filled out a questionnaire. Is that how it works? Or?
Yeah, it gives you like profiles and matches you up and gives you percentage matches and stuff.
So your percentage with him is what?
It's like 94.
I don't know.
I just look at the pictures.
And you like that quality in him, apparently.
Very nice.
Yeah. Very nice. So then went, okay, so then that date, and then you went shopping for sardines.
That's right.
Then, and this is.
And this is by far probably, is it the best?
It's not over yet. No. This could be a traumatic experience. And you have the next date planned already?
Not yet, no. We'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah, depends on how this goes.
Depends on how the show goes? Like maybe like a better radio show or something? Like
that. Yeah.
Or you don't know. And so how long has this been then in terms of time?
A couple weeks.
Yeah.
It's a whirlwind. It's a whirlwind romance. You hear about them, but you never see one. Well, and I was going to say what he said, wrote on his, my date is wearing mismatched Star Trek socks, and I kind of like it. By gosh, she is. You guys got a face.
Yeah.
I heavily approve of the two of you and wish you the best. We have a little for you to kind of grease the skids, so to speak.
How about some Wisconsin wines from the Wollersheim Winery?
Yeah?
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, we went up.
Nice meeting you.
We could be better than sardines at Woodman's. They got wine from us. Kind of sweet, isn't it? I like that. Let's see. All right, now who wrote this here? No. Who made George Washington's fake teeth? That was you?
Yeah.
Do you actually know?
Yeah.
Okay, well, stand up here for a second. I'll see you. Yeah, your name is Aiden?
Yeah.
Moriarty?
Yeah.
And from Middleton. So Middleton schools are good if you know this, right? All right, tell us, because I don't know, who made George Washington's fake teeth?
It was Paul Revere.
No. Really?
It was in Trivial Pursuit.
What?
It was in Trivial Pursuit.
Oh, no kidding. But they were wooden, though. He worked in pottery and things, and silver, didn't he? He was. Oh, you didn't get that. You're not that smart. Well, that's pretty interesting, then. Okay. Well, thank you for that.
Welcome.
Did you ever see him? Did you ever see his teeth?
No.
Picture of him? They're like really big. They're actually choppers. They're wooden, and they had ivory or something implanted in the wood. And he must have been in terrible pain. They had springs attached to him and stuff.
Yeah. Do you think that's true?
Yeah. Sure.
No, it's true. Father of our country had like wooden choppers with springs. So Julia Lynn, then. Moriarty. Would that be you? Want to stand up, dear? Want to stand up? How are you?
Good.
Good. What's this here? It says, I use my mini iPad.
Yeah.
You do? You have one of those?
Yeah.
How mini is it? Is it really, really small?
I really have no idea, actually.
Yeah. What do you do on there?
I play games, and I buy apps, and I listen to music.
Wait a minute, you buy apps on there?
Well, not really buy. I'm more really, I more download them from the iCloud.
So you're downloading, did you know any of this?
Yeah, it's this ongoing, so they're in the cloud, and somehow it's amazing that we own them all already, but it's fun to download them again.
Oh, I see. So you know the ones that she's downloading from the iCloud and stuff. What's your favorite that you've downloaded so far?
Let's see.
Do that farm one?
No. I really have. Yeah. Okay, I'm thinking. I'm thinking this wipeout app, I think.
Wipeout? What happens in that app, that game?
You run on these obstacle course in this virtual character, and
you run on an obstacle course, and
there's a lot of dangers, and I just
so you have to avoid various dangers while running through an obstacle course.
So you're running through an obstacle course, and there's like these things that'll like punch you into the water or something.
Yeah. So it's a lot like real life, is what you're saying.
I guess.
And then who are you as a virtual? Who's your virtual character, or can't you tell me?
I have no idea.
Okay. Does it vary? Get new ones all the time?
Well, sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And you had another thing about Justin Bieber's middle name?
I really have no idea what the answer is.
Oh, okay.
I just wrote it down.
Yeah, because you had to come up with a question.
Yeah.
What is Justin? Do you like Justin Bieber?
No.
I want to shake your hand. Very nice to meet you. The Moriarty kids, ladies and gentlemen, from Middleton. Okay, that was good. We're going to play a round of the What Do You Know quiz because that's what we do here. So it's educational. You can deduct the cost of your ticket because it is educational, and you, sir, are.
My name's Kim.
Kim?
Kim.
Okay, Kim, and where are you from?
I'm from Port Washington.
Port Washington. We used to go there for smoked fish.
Excellent fish here.
Smith Brothers, wasn't it, up there?
Smith Brothers, now a coffee house.
Oh, it's very sad.
It is.
For smoked fish with my dad.
You can still get smoked fish.
Yeah.
I'll bring some
at
next
a coffee house?
I'll bring some next time.
Okay, that'd be great. Kim, you want to do the honors? I'll give this to you, and I'll just get out of here. Right.
Thanks very much. The four disclaimers. Number one, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, I honestly don't know what to think about Kim Kardashian's rear end. Number three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. And number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Mistake in there. Congratulations. 30 years, someone called a grammatical mistake. Anyone who says, as opposed to anyone who says. So thank you, Kim, for finding that a grammatical mistake in the four disclaimers and correcting it. Now let's see the hands of those of you who might want to... No, I thought you were just... Oh, you're just adjusting your mustache. Okay. Not a lot of enthusiasm that I see so far. What about this young man here, right in the center? Yes. Wearing the New York University sweatshirt, so he must be well educated to buy that sweatshirt. At least some education is required for that. How are you?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm good. And you are?
Eric Rowland.
Eric, are you from around here or what?
Yeah, we just moved out to Fitchburg.
Oh, you did?
Yep.
Where'd you move from?
Green Bay.
Yeah. And what are you doing? Are you working out there?
I'm working right down here, yeah. Just got a job as a legal secretary.
All right. Eric, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Because this show is the best way to spend a Saturday.
What a sweet guy. I love Eric. Come on, Eric. Very nice thing to say. Whether it's true or not, I'll let you decide. But yeah, Eric. Yeah. You're a young man, though. Couldn't you find better ways to spend a Saturday? Eric?
I'm kind of an old man in a young man's body.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, I'm an old man in an old man's body, so
well,
I know how you feel.
Coming. Good, good,
yeah.
Good.
So how are things then? This job, legal secretary, that's a pretty good job, right?
Yeah, yeah, I'm real happy.
Yeah.
Real happy.
Were you trained in that field, or how did that come out?
Yeah, yeah, I did a little bit of a degree in paralegal certificate.
Paralegal, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm starting out at the bottom.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just got it 2 weeks ago.
Fantastic. So have you started yet?
Yeah. I've just finished my first week.
Yeah, how'd it go?
It's good. It's good.
Not just filing and stuff, isn't it?
Well, a little bit, but.
Some filing.
Some wandering.
Just when you walk in there, first day, you should say, all right, I don't do filing. Yeah. You know? And then they'll say, well, God, you're going to be something someday if you're not going to file.
If you turn down the filing. Yeah.
Yeah. Turn down the file thing. They still have filing, though? They don't have filing, like file cabinets anymore?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Big shelves full of them, yeah.
Yeah. It's probably the last place where they still have files, right, in a law office?
Well, yeah. They got electronic, they got paper, they got big shelves, they got all kinds of paper.
But, I mean, even, like, manila folders and all that?
Oh, yeah. You've got manila red ones. It's a whole world in there.
Are they color-coded?
Yeah.
Let's go through the color-coding just to see if you got this.
No, I don't know the codes. There's just... There's big red.
They'd
ones.
Have to kill you if they told you the color coding.
I don't have access to that yet. So.
Oh, the phone. Okay,
I just started.
That's cool. And then where'd you go to school in Green Bay?
From Green Bay, I went to college in Eau Claire.
Eau Claire.
UW-Eau Claire.
Yeah.
And then I
just wanted to see the other side of the state.
Yeah.
You're curious what was over there.
Yeah. Just cool. To make sure it's there. Yeah. See where it ends.
Eau Claire.
Yeah.
Cool. And what was your major?
Spanish. Spanish.
Well, that
arts.
Worked out well for you, then, didn't it?
Yeah.
Because you can label those files any way you want to. Then,
yeah,
you know,
I put accents on them. And,
yeah. Did you have you lived overseas at all? Or?
Yeah, I did a semester in Spain.
Oh, fantastic. That's what my daughter is going to do this next semester. She's going to be in Sevilla.
Yeah, great town.
Yeah, have you been there?
No.
Where were you in Spain?
But I can vouch. Yeah. No, I was in Valladolid, so it's north of Madrid and Castilla y León, which is castles and lions, is the state. So.
Yeah.
So it's pretty imaginative.
How cool. And that was a good semester for you?
Yeah, it was great. It was really great.
Fantastic. All these kids are doing it now. And one of her friends is going to South Africa for her semester, after first going to Thailand, of course, stopping in Thailand. These kids, you kids amaze me.
Oh, thank you.
You guys are not, like, afraid of any. You know, it's not exactly, like, fearless, because that would be sort of like a macho thing. And then it's not that, because a lot of them are girls. But it's like they don't have a lot of fears. I mean, I would have been terrified of that.
Well, I mean, maybe South Africa. Spain's pretty safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, you guys are not afraid to go out there and do it.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah, they push it a lot. Yeah. It's a big part of education now, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it is. It's terrible for the parents who are not on the same plane. Literally, I'm not on the same plane because I can't get on one of those.
Well, I was the youngest, so they just kind of loosed me into the wild. So.
Yeah. Well, very, very good. Very good. Okay, Eric, someone out there plays along with you, and how does that work then, Sarah?
Somebody at home who wants to play the quiz picks up the phone and dials 1-800-942-5669, and you ask them a qualifying question.
Okay, we got to hurry here. I guess we're going to get this in. Craig in Greensboro, North Carolina. How are you? Hi, Craig.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Hey, Michael. I'm good, thanks.
Good. In Greece, they may have found the tomb of whom?
So, Nick, we have a little something for Craig just for calling in, don't we?
Any idea they may have found the tomb? They dug it up. They found a very tomb. It could be a very famous person in Greece. Who might that be, Craig?
No clue. I'll guess Homer.
Okay. Yeah, we don't have anything for you. I'm sorry. Paul is in Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how you doing, Michael?
I'm doing good. And Paul, what tomb may they have found in Greece?
Alexander the Great.
Okay, we can let that go because that's true. Actually, it was Jimmy the Greek. No, it was Alexander the Great. All right. Are you vacationing there, Paul, or taking some time off?
I come down here for the winter, Michael.
Oh, you're there for the whole winter. So is it not so much fun anymore to be Hilton Head if you're just living like there, you know, for a while?
Oh, it's a good place to live. It's nice.
Yeah, it's good. Okay. So like today, what will you be doing today?
Not much. It's pretty chilly.
Oh, yeah. Like what?
Yeah.
47.
Oh, God. Movie time. Paul, Eric, you are a team.
Hey, Paul.
Hey.
Okay, good. That was two guys connecting there. Yeah. And, we have various categories, don't we, Sarah?
We do. They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Paul, you pick the first one. What would you like?
Current events.
Current events. All right. This is kind of a truth or onion question. Is this an actual story, or is it from The Onion? The Duck Dynasty boys are greased up for their close-up. True or onion?
It smells like onion to me. What do you think,
I'll go
Paul?
With that.
Paul?
Yes, it's an onion. That's not. They're not going to do the Kardashian, the Duck Dynasty boys. Okay.
That's one right and zero wrong.
And remaining we have?
People, places, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
Eric?
Let's go science, Paul. What do you think?
Science sounds good to me.
I'm not big on science. I hope you are.
We'll give it a run.
All right.
Okay.
Males develop their superb navigational skills for one of these reasons. Was it A, is that a joke? B, to get away from beasts with better ones? Or C, to find females? Males' superb navigational skills.
Well, I'm thinking the beast thing, Paul. What do you think?
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay, or is it something a little more subtle?
Females?
Females. Is it females?
I'm not calling females subtle, don't get me wrong. I'm saying that. You think to find females? Are you rethinking that?
It's heading that way, yeah.
Yeah. So in other words, they're navigating to find females. They're actually looking, that's the whole reason for them navigating at all.
Yeah.
Finding things in space because there might be a female there.
Yeah.
Make sense to you, Paul?
Sure.
Yes, that's right. Congratulations. You win the 2-for-1 you know quiz.
Eric, for jokes about bankers, engineers, consultants, and doctors, you'll find them all in Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know from source books. Paul, you'll make every morning a What Do You Know? Quiz-winning morning with Stephen Brew's breakfast blend coffee and relax through the afternoon with... I was talking so fast, I just stopped talking. Sweet and smooth Costa Rican Terrazu from Madison's Deep Brew Coffee, which is coffee done right. And
scary.
Each of you can access to any meal with a jar of medium salsa from Sanchez Specialties. First you taste the sweet, then you feel the heat. And let the good times roll, playing What Do You Know? The party game, including cards, questions, audience, and the always popular Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at NotMuch.com. Congratulations to you both.
Thanks, Eric.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Thank you.
Hang out. Make sure you get that.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI. That's Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International.
Overdo it.
Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, we skate on thick ice with Admirals VP Mike Wojciechowski. Plus, it's a whole new batch of Thanks for the Memos, all the news that is, and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who would have looked for a different shaped comet, it's Michael Feldman.
Why would he try to land on that comet? You know, I mean, that was an irregular shaped comet. Of all the comets you could pick to land on, I mean, that'd be probably like the toughest comet to land on, right? Because it's shaped like sort of like a barbell with one bell bigger than the other. I'm just saying, right? Why would you pick that one? I want answers. Well, you know, deal with it. Each week at this time, read actual memos sent in by actual listeners so that actual listeners shall not perish from the earth due to memos. You still get memos at your jobs and what? It's all memos? What, you mean at the law office? Yeah, this is Eric's here saying it's all memos. Do most of you find that you get memos still? Or is that... No? Are most of you here right now? Okay. Well, here's one actual memo that you did not receive, but you could have, I guess. And it reads as follows. It goes to everyone, I guess. Yeah, from Bruce to, well, there's a whole list of names there, many names. Okay, it reads as follows. Dearest Mama's Boys, it pains me to have to send another scathing email about housekeeping, but your inadequacies in this area are appalling and need to be addressed. Several years ago, yes, there is a long history here, I sent an email about how when you use the last roll of a toilet paper, it is your duty to replace it with a new one. Your duty. Duty. I assumed, silly me, that you would all extrapolate that this would include paper towels as well. Unfortunately, too many of you don't know what extrapolate means, nor do you know what duty means, apparently, nor do you know how to do it. Thus, this email. Yesterday, I used the facilities that are located in the office, washed my hands, and then discovered to my everlasting consternation. Just parenthetically, don't you hate bosses who use big words in their memos? That's a sin. That some big words that they don't really know. That someone had used the last of the paper towels who had not replaced the old roll with a new one. With wet hands, mind you, I had to open the door, find something to dry my hands, and then replace the roll of towels on behalf of the loser who didn't. A little strong language, I think, considering the subject matter. I hate to break it to you, all of you, but none of you of your mothers work here. I hate to break it to all of you, but none of your mothers work here, nor should they be saddled with the duty of following you around everywhere you go to take care of your every need. You are all adults now, at least you ought to be, even though apparently some of you are still struggling with that concept, and you should be able to take some responsibility for your actions for being polite to others. If you use the last of the toilet paper or the paper towels, please put a new roll in place. It isn't hard to learn how to do it. There are even pictures inside the paper towel dispenser showing you how. If you need pictures for how to replace a toilet paper roll, let me know. And it is the polite and considerate thing to do. I know that some of you blame this on the new guy or the HSO guys, but this has been happening for years, long before the new guy in HSO showed up. I know that this time it wasn't G, he's in Europe, but I included him in this email under the heading of preventive maintenance. Grow up. Your mom doesn't work here. Clean up after... This is on caps. That's why I'm shouting. Clean up after yourself. Change TP and paper towel rolls when empty. Have a good day. Thank you so much for that. Leadership. It's known as leadership.
Belligerent leadership.
Yeah, yeah. And where can they send those memos and such?
They can send them to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org with the subject line memos, or they can go to notmuch.com and post it there.
Okay. If you're on the Twitter thing, I'm on the Twitter thing. My Feldman, @MyFeldman. So if you do the Twitter thing, if you don't know what I'm talking about, so that's okay too. No apps are involved. No purchases will be on your card for that, any of this. We got all the news that is around here. Some things in Madison are worth mentioning. Burglars leave with empty feeling. They stole empty cartons of cigarettes in this thing in Madison here. Two men broke into a Northside store. They thought they hit the smoking jackpot by taking cartons of cigarettes, but the cartons were empty, and they fled empty-handed. So that was apparently just display models. Then the young man who jumped on the squad car trying to be funny, officers not laughing. Madison man told police he was only trying to be funny. He was arrested Saturday after allegedly jumping on a police squad car, denting the hood. 18-year-old was tentatively charged with criminal damage to property, resisting arrest, and bail jumping. Bail jumping? The incident happened, so he was wanted on a bail charge, jumping bail, and decided to jump on a police squad car because he thought it would be funny. Okay. Officers at the mall, a call when witnesses told police man had been jumping on their car. He was pointed out by witnesses. He took off running deeper into the mall as police learned of his crime. Okay. The officer could see the suspect heading his way while looking over his shoulder, not aware of the officer and sergeant split up. This guy should not be in crime of any sort. He's not equipped to do it. Then there was the Spartacus one, which is a little more interesting, or maybe not. A Madison man proclaiming he was Spartacus was arrested early Sunday for allegedly breaking windows with a fire extinguisher downtown. Tentatively charged with criminal damage to property and disorderly conduct. The man, whose witnesses said was drunk, allegedly drunk, I might add, it's not proven yet, was stopped, but it seems likely, let's put it that way, stopped by the tavern on Mifflin Street 1 a.m. Sunday after he allegedly used the extinguisher to break a window of the tavern. Minutes later, he broke another window, all the while exclaiming, "I am Spartacus." Even in the squad car later, he proudly proclaimed that he was, in fact, Spartacus. This goes back to the movie Spartacus. You ever see that, where they all say they're Spartacus? And so I think it's much more complex than it looks on the surface here. But he should have said, "I am idiot," obviously. But I think it was a reference he was trying to make here, and so he should, that should be in the bail hearing. That should be considered that he's actually making a movie reference. There's this one here. Rutting buck faces off against Madison officer. White-tailed deer tried to mate with one of our local officers. Showdown came about because the rutting buck wanted to do his business with a doe, but the doe was not available. So the officer went over there, and he was. After a tense stare down of the buck blowing steam from his nose, and the officer as well, I might add, the officer held his ground, the lawman won out, and the buck reluctantly sauntered off. But they don't say what really happened in between there, but what is rutting exactly involved? Do you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what?
Well, it's, creating a new deer.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Same, was it a male or female officer?
No, it was a male officer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So that part was fine. At first, when drivers started calling in 911 at 7 a.m., it looked like two bucks. We're trying to help the whatever they're trying to do.
Gender disorder. Confusion.
That wasn't the intent of the bucks. Nearing the end of the rut, the time of year when bucks mate with does, they were doing what comes naturally to testosterone-crazed bucks and police as well.
Anything.
All right, so it's all right now. I don't know what happened to the deer. And let's see. Okay, we're pretty much. I don't want to. There's a lot of stuff here, but West Dallas, no. Former Pabst plan. Well, I do like this story here. Panel recommends plan for former Pabst bottling plant in Milwaukee. They are going to take the former Pabst bottling plant in Milwaukee and make it into a student dorm. What karma! I love that. I think that's a great story. And finally, the time of the year, it's sign of winter, ice fishing inspections to start for flotation devices on vehicles already. So they're looking to make sure, it's kind of early, November 15th, to have your flotation devices on your vehicles in case you're going ice fishing with a thing. So, because you're still, scooting around the square and stuff with all those gallon jugs bobbing around, it's going to take something away from the effort. But thank you very much. That's all the news that is from around here. Okay, there's a lot more. I can't get to it all. There's just too much news from around here. But here's some news from around here. That is that, is it National Prostate Month? You don't know, Sarah? I thought you'd keep up on these things. Didn't you go to the conference on that? Mike Wojciechowski, who is the Milwaukee Admirals hockey VP, is definitely in on this whole thing because he decided to get a prostate exam at Saturday's game. This is a breakthrough for both prostate and for Mike as well, Mike Wojciechowski as well. So let's go to the phones right now and find out what? And here he is. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, though?
I'm great. I'm great. We're trying to change the face of men's health, and
yeah.
I tell you what.
Yeah.
We came up with this during the week and decided, you know, it's No Shave November and it's Movember and everyone is trying to, you know, really raise awareness in men's health issues. And yeah, so we decided a minor league baseball team did it during the season. I said, you know what? I have no problem getting a prostate exam during the game.
No. Do you know what's involved, though, Mike? I mean, when you go in for...
Well, we're just going to do the initial screening today of a little rectal exam, and it'll be fine. And you know, I'm in a pretty secluded spot in the building, and but it will be shown on the Jumbotron.
It's not going to be on the ice then, because I imagine you're at the Admirals game.
It will be shown. It will be shown on the Jumbotron, though. So you know, we have a
wait a second, Mike. It's going to be on the Jumbotron during the game, or like it?
Yeah, absolutely. About halfway through the first period, it's going to be it'll be on the Jumbotron. You'll just see a front view of me, however. You won't see the back view.
Somebody's going to see the back view. I mean, they're going to be
got
a whole stadium out there.
There'll definitely be one person that'll see the back view. There's no question.
Yeah. So then you do know exactly what's involved in the initial
process. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, anybody that's had seen the movie Fletch and Chevy Chase singing Moon River knows all about it.
Yeah. Did he sing Moon River to that? Are you going to do that as well, Mike? Or?
No, I'm not going to sing Moon River.
Yeah. Because, you know, our guy here, you know, Adam Friedrich, said he grew a mustache, you know, and he thought that was going pretty far. For this whole thing.
Yeah, you know what? A lot of hairy guys walking around, but and we've done that probably for 7 or 8 years with the Admirals, and really, we've in the last 24 hours or 36 hours since we've announced this, I've had more great emails and more people commenting. This morning, I was raking leaves out in front of my house, and a retired Milwaukee police officer stopped and said, "Hey, good luck tonight." And I said, "Well, thank you." And he said, "I'm a survivor, and I think what you're doing is great." You know what? If I can get a half a dozen people to make a doctor's appointment that normally wouldn't have gone to the doctor just because I did something crazy to have a prostate exam, you know what? Then I've done my job.
But, you know, maybe he meant he was a survivor of Admirals hockey.
Yeah, probably.
You know, he could have been talking about something entirely different. And now you're in this situation here where that you pretty much committed. Are any of the guys of the team, are they going to join you? And I mean, that would be very cool. You know, some of those Swedish guys you got there, what are they probably be into that?
Who knows? You know, but they're a little busy on the ice. You know, it's just a little timeout during the first period, and we'll get it done.
So you can do it during a timeout?
Yep, during a promotional timeout.
Promotional time? How long are promotional timeouts?
70 seconds.
Okay. So I guess if you had them hiked down when going in there, you can probably do that in 70 seconds.
Oh, absolutely. We'll be all set to go.
Did a fan win the honor of doing this, or is there an actual doctor?
We have a team doctor that'll take care of this.
Team doctor, and does he provide that to the guys as a service?
You know, I know he takes. We have an ortho guy, and we have a general practitioner. And I think I think the general guy does provide physicals for all the guys.
Is this the general guy or the ortho guy?
This is the general guy.
Okay. I would, you know, see his degree first. Does he have a degree that he can actually produce? But it's a great. I give you a lot of credit, Mike.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, Mike Wojciechowski.
We're just trying to raise the awareness. You know, when you look at the numbers, though, it's staggering. And that one in seven men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in their life. And that's, you know what? I mean, one out of seven. And those are scary numbers.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's great calling attention to it, and it's a terrific, a classic use of the Jumbotron, I think. Not that you need a Jumbotron, don't get me wrong.
No, you don't need one, but it sure helps when you're trying to get your point across.
Literally, yes.
Yes, exactly.
Mike Wojciechowski, thanks, Mike. Milwaukee
Thank
Admirals,
you.
Be there at the game, or catch it home if you got Dish. Okay, prostate awareness. And hockey awareness as well. Admirals awareness as well. So it works both ways. Okay. I was a bit surprised the first time I had one of those.
I don't know if I'd want to do it on camera, but...
No. We're at a hockey game.
Yeah, we're at a hockey game.
It's not what you think of. I think going, hockey game, necessarily.
No.
No.
Not at all.
No. Okay, good. So you, I see you didn't grow a mustache, though, or anything?
No, I don't like mustaches.
Jeff?
No.
No,
he doesn't.
I have a hard time growing mustaches. It takes a long time.
It, plural? More than one mustache? People used to say mustaches. Isn't it funny? Now they know it's singular now, but they say he has a nice set of mustaches. Huh? It's not really a set.
I never heard that.
Yeah, mustaches. Well, I'm thinking about the 1890s when I started out. Okay, here. So then how about you want to feel like playing something? Then?
Yeah.
Not
well,
to change the tone or anything.
Jeff has a little promotional thing first.
Promotional thing from Jeff.
Sure. This Thursday, jazz lovers, jazz guitar legend Peter Bernstein will be playing at the Wisconsin Conservatory of Music at 7:30, featuring Jeff Hammond on bass, Mark Davis piano, David Bayless drums. Okay.
We got to curb you.
Be there.
I'm taking that mic away from you first.
Okay, that's
first
fair.
And next, the bass. I'm taking the bass.
John, what song are we doing?
Mellow Mood.
Yes, thanks.
It's called Mellow Mood.
John Tulin, Jeff Hammond on the bass.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Betty Mance of Kansas City asks, what do you do to take care of yourself? Obviously nothing much. was that you? Oh, yes, yes. Well, thank you for asking if it was intended in a nice way. Was it?
Absolutely. I'm concerned about your health.
You're concerned about my health? Which part of it are you concerned most?
Your mental health.
My mental health. That's sweet of you to say.
Actually, though, we've come here to talk about Todd Rundgren, the greatest musician of all time, period.
Very true. Yes, thank you. Okay. First it's me, next is Todd Rundgren. See how quickly that turns on you like that? Let's see. I will tell you this, that I'm flavonoids. I'm doing flavonoids.
Yes.
I've really upped my flavonoids. And I'm going to do it in a hockey rink in Milwaukee, actually.
Yeah, some Greek yogurt will help that.
What?
Nothing.
Well, I'm taking cocoa every day now. I mean, unfiltered, organic, you know, nothing but cocoa. Un-Dutch processed. Anti-Dutch processed. The Dutch are not allowed near my cocoa. So that's got, it's high in flavonoids. And it's supposed to help your short-term, I can't remember what it's supposed to help. Anyway. memory thing or something like that. And so far, I've taken it about a month now, and I remember Dom DeLuise. Huh? So it's working, is what I'm saying. I lost him entirely in my memory bank, and I... Okay. Are you wearing the same shoes you were when I was here last? Yes, I've been wearing these shoes for about at least 10, 12 years now.
But you only wear them to the show, right?
I only wear them to the show.
Yeah. Show shoes.
Because they're so lovely. My lucky shoes. I had another pair for 15 years before that, another lucky shoes, and those unfortunately met with a horrible accident. Okay, yes, same shoes. How many shades of gray are there? Is that your group as well? I've been... maybe through one or two of them at the most, so I imagine there's only maybe like three or four shades of gray. Anyone know the answer to this? How many shades of gray? I don't know. That's kids here. You don't know what that means, to tell you the truth. There's probably an app for it, though. Wedding day. What's this? Jessica Morey, Madison. We are getting married tonight. What advice would you give us on our wedding day? Holy cow, Jessica Morey, and who's the lucky guy? Gary? No. Wrong guy. Let's find out. Well, there they are. They're getting married tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And they're spending the day. They should be at rehearsals. You can't see one another. You're not supposed to see her even now. Are you, what's the matter with convention anymore? You know, you're not supposed to see her.
I want to know who this Gary is.
He's a state legislator. He's retiring, actually. Where is Gary? Yeah, he's got nothing to do with it. His car just happened to be there next to yours. So we got Jessica.
Maury.
Maury, yes. Hello.
Hi.
Congratulations. No, you don't say congratulations to the bride. You say what? Way to go.
Thank you.
Okay. And you are?
Ryan Lawler.
Ryan.
Yes.
The groom. Congratulations. I can say that to you.
Thank you very much.
Shouldn't you be at a... Besides the fact you can obviously see her because she's next year here, but shouldn't you be at a rehearsal or something? Or is this the rehearsal for your wedding?
We're doing it live. Just the one go.
You do? Yeah, really? Well, isn't that bold? Was that with your approval?
Yes.
Okay. But isn't the family kind of alarmed about that because no one knows where to stand and walk? And
no.
No? No. Is it going to be a family affair? Or are you?
Yeah. I think we'll figure it out. We got 15 minutes before, to get there before we actually start. So, yeah,
where is it going to be?
Goodman Community Center.
Goodman Community Center is very nice. Very nice. A lot of bar mitzvahs and stuff going on there. So.
Interesting. I did not know.
Are you having a rabbi doing the ceremony?
No, a friend who's also officiant.
He's an officiant?
She is, yeah.
She is?
And she, I believe, is 2-for-1 with her 3 marriages.
I don't understand that at all. Do you get that?
No. Two are still married.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
I thought you meant 2 for the price of 1.
No. No.
For price of 1.
So, yeah.
Is it a big affair? A lot of people coming?
No. 40 plus. 40 so,
plus.
Yeah, but come from a big family, so... Small affair,
but 30 of them are from your family.
There's a few, yeah.
Okay, that's cool. And where's your family from?
Madison.
Yeah. And yours?
My family here from Maryland, California.
Oh, this is the family here?
Yep, we have some family. Yep.
Okay.
And Connecticut.
Connecticut? Okay. Mom?
No.
Mom? Mom?
No.
Aunt? Yeah, okay. Sister?
I'm Ryan's sister.
Yeah. Brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law, so you're all here. Are you at all alarmed at the fact that you're here and the wedding is going to go on in a few hours? And
no, I think this is fun. This is the best wedding I've ever been to.
Yeah, really? Yeah. Very cool. Do you have are you a bridesmaid or anything?
No, not really. We're just here to enjoy the day with them, but I think it'll work out. They already have a little one on the way, so.
That's good. No, nothing wrong with that. That's motivation. I always look at it that way. Is there going to be are you the best man?
No, I'm an uncle.
Well, you can't be an uncle and a best man. What's wrong?
Can't. You have to choose.
That's wonderful. Congratulations. And you don't look nervous at all. You look terrified. No. You don't look nervous.
Thank you. No, not nervous at all.
Well, we can celebrate, can't we?
We have the perfect thing. We have this book called Finding Your Perfect Soulmate or Business Partner.
Too late.
Okay.
Too late.
We have wedding ceremony bingo. How about that?
Yeah, that'll be good for after. Yeah.
Okay. A rugged mug from East Lansing's Jazz at Wharton Center.
Get to the booze, will you?
Okay. Well, then how about some Wisconsin wines from the Wollersheim Wine?
Yeah, a couple, 3 or something. Can we get a mass?
It's sure.
Got 40 people coming.
Wow. Well, you'd be sure.
10 bottles should do it.
Chris, yeah.
Congratulations. Best to you.
Thank you.
All right, wonderful. Well, isn't that sweet? What a way to spend your pre-marriage here at the What Do You Know show. And that's very good. Okay. So that's it. And what's the last name going to be? Moray or? What last name are we using? Slavic? Lawler, that's right, Lawler. I forgot. I know some Lawlers. Terry Lawler, you know him? From Kenosha? Yeah, okay. All right. Let's see here. Anything else? That's a hard act to follow. Oh, this legislator here, Gary. How are you?
Wonderful.
Gary, is it Byes or Bees? Byes, yeah. How are you?
Good.
And we did a show up, where was it, in Fish Creek up in Door County?
Yeah, in my first term, and I was told you made some wisecrack about me in your opening remarks, so I don't know what it was.
Okay. And you're retiring now, but you're getting retribution here as you leave off.
Well, I thought I'd come and see how you put this thing together.
Yeah. Okay. And how'd you put the legislature together? Pretty good?
Yeah, we did well.
Yeah. Okay. Do you know what did someone say? I don't remember what it was. That was a while ago, right?
Yeah, I think I was doing a bill on something about docs allowing people to not go through a lot of the paperwork that they had to do at the time.
To build a dock?
To build a dock.
That sounds like a gold mine for humor, but you know me.
DNR regulations.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we're down here. My granddaughter's going to be in her third night of a play at McFarland High School, Fiddled on the Roof.
Fiddled on the Roof? So yeah, is that you?
And her dad over there is directing it.
Yeah. So. Do you want to be an actual Jewish guy in case you want to polish up your part a little bit? Who are you going to be in the play?
One of the youngest daughters, Shrinza.
Shrinza, yes. That's good. Give me one of your lines. What do you say?
Where should we put these?
Where should we put these? That's so good. Congratulations. Nice to see you again. Excellent. Fiddler on the Roof. If I was a rich man, he'd idle, doodles, idle, doodle, 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 dee.
Wow.
Okay. Where should I put these? Oh, if I was a rich. Okay. Who's doing that part? Who plays Tevye?
Some guy. Jack?
Is he, you know, Jewish?
No, he's not.
Can he fake it? Because I can rush in there and do this because I know all the songs. And I can rush in. Okay. Okay. What's your favorite Todd Rundgren song? No, okay. I cut you off on Todd. Where is the Todd Rundgren freak?
This guy.
Okay. All right. Come on. I can see because you got Todd Rundgren on your shirt. And
I'm glad to see you know that.
Yeah. So what is it with you and Todd Rundgren?
What is it with me and Todd Rundgren?
Well put. I mean, how did it all start, or did you go to a concert?
It started the first week of January 1974.
Yeah. Can you remember that week? Then you're doing your.
I do, you weren't that high,
if you can actually remember that. Yeah,
okay. Well, it's been a consistent since then.
And where was that?
That was in Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay. At where? At the.
In a dorm room.
Todd Rundgren was in your dorm room. And, well, I can see why it's been so important to you.
At that time, a cassette tape. Uh-huh. Changed my life.
And what was the song that changed your life?
Well, it started with International Feel. Uh-huh. You know that song?
No. He's after my time, but, you know. I did that with the Doors.
Yeah. Oh, you did?
People are strange in my dorm room, you know.
Yeah. When you're a stranger.
When you're a stranger. Your voice is... Sound ugly when you're alone. But that wasn't Todd Rundgren.
No, that wasn't.
And you've been following him ever since? Have you seen him? Have you met him? Have you been to all the concerts?
Yeah, we've been to shows. This group here met at his house in Hawaii at a week-long birthday party.
For him?
For him.
And he was there?
He was there.
And you met him?
We met him.
Yeah. How did you get into how'd you crash that party?
We just took our tents and set up in his yard.
And he didn't? He didn't mind because he's Todd Rundgren.
No, he encouraged it.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was a week long birthday party.
And when you finally met him after all these years, was it, you know, sometimes you meet the guy and you think, oh God, it ruins the illusion, but not with Todd Rundgren.
Not with Todd.
No.
No, it did not ruin the illusion at all.
No, not at all.
Yes. Not at all. Yeah, it was good.
And I bet he appreciated your fervor.
He did. He was glad, I think, when we left as well. But yeah,
get out of his damn yard. That would have been nice.
Yeah,
but...
yeah. It was fun. So we've been going to shows and have you know, there's a group of us who tour around. Yeah. Follow.
When is the next Todd Rundgren?
Tonight in
Peoria.
Can you make it?
It depends how long the show here goes.
We can end now. As far as I'm concerned, it's a fairly good drive to Peoria. Does it take us 6 hours to get to Peoria? Because we were there.
I don't think it's quite that long from here.
Yeah. Okay. So you can make it easily.
Yeah. So yeah, it's Peoria tonight. I think tickets are still available for any listeners out there.
Okay. for any listeners out there. I like that. And your name is?
My name is Mike. Mike Bender.
Mike Bender, ladies and gentlemen.
Ah, Bender.
And the Todd Rundgren people. All right. What do you think? Should we play a quiz or something like that?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah? Maybe there's somebody out there who wants to play.
Okay, we're going to play another quiz here now. I know you keep raising your hand, but I was looking for a variety. Okay, I guess it's you then, because no one else. Yeah. How about those Packers, though, hey?
Yeah, how about those Packers?
What, Philadelphia, they're good this year, huh?
I think the Packers will take them.
Really?
Yeah.
You think they'll win, though? I mean,
maybe.
What is your name?
Jim Marquette.
Jim Marquette. And Jim, is Marquette like as in Marquette?
Yes.
And are you related to Father Marquette?
My father told me that we were, but I don't know if I believe him.
That's because he's your father. You can't help
that.
Father Marquette or...
Yes.
Jim, give me one good reason why I should play this quiz.
Well, I want to win some prizes, some wonderful prizes.
Okay.
Some wine.
All right, spoken like a Marquette. Have a seat there, Jim. Jim Marquette. Well, haven't you been curious? I mean, did you do any, like, blood tests or something? Cheek swabs?
No, but I've read a book on Father Marquette, and it was pretty interesting.
Well, I would go further than that, though, wouldn't you? I mean, if I thought it was related to Father Marquette.
Further I can go.
Because he's the guy, the French guy, who came into Wisconsin here and named all these towns with French names that people mispronounce.
That's true.
So it's pretty important. Okay, so Jim, I'm surprised. Has anyone in the family ever really checked it out? And
as far as I know, not.
No. Yeah.
That's 1650s era. It's kind of hard to check that far back.
Well, you're lucky your family goes back that far.
.com or something.
Started in the 1930s or
really?
Something. Yeah, first Feldman. I don't know how that works. Anyway, so what do you do these days, Jim Marquette?
My wife and I have a title and abstract company in Phillips, Wisconsin.
Title and abstract in Phillips.
Yeah.
So if I'm getting a title or an abstract, I got to go to you in Phillips.
Hopefully, yes.
You own Phillips as far as title and abstract?
No, we have competition.
No kidding.
Yeah. It's a big town, 1,500 people.
I know. How many titles and abstracts can be up for grabs at any given point?
Not enough, I guess, but...
No. Is that what you've always done, titles and abstracts?
No, I've done a lot of things, but we've done that for 25 years or so.
All in Phillips?
Yes.
What did you do before titles and abstracts?
Purchasing for a machinery company and a plastics company. Mm-hmm. Did some field service work, installing equipment.
So purchasing wasn't getting it for you, and you said, I could...
Yeah,
guy could do titles and abstracts. So.
Yeah, I got tired of doing that. Yeah.
Are you from up there?
I'm originally from Chicago, but I lived up there for about 35 years.
So you defected from Chicago?
Yes, I did.
There's people up there, like in Rhinelander and Phillips and every place. And what caused you to defect?
I had visited up here, or up in northern Wisconsin, and I liked it up there, so I went on the went to find a job, and I was able to find employment there.
Do you find yourself now resenting those same sorts of Chicago people who are up there in our Northwoods?
Oh, sure, sure.
You don't let on that you were one.
Right.
I think the statute of limitations has passed on it.
That's what I say,
Because you've been doing titles.
I've lived there longer than I have in Illinois, so.
Yeah. And where in Illinois were you from?
Suburb of Chicago.
Which one?
Midlothian.
Midlothian. I've never known anyone from Midlothian.
Yeah. Well, there's people there.
Yeah. There's people there, but it's no Phillips, I'll tell you that.
That's
right
for sure.
Bat.
That's why I'm in Phillips.
Yeah. And your wife is in the business with you?
Yeah, she started the business, and
she
joined
did.
Her later.
Okay. Was she your wife when
brains.
She started?
Yes. Yeah.
So she was always in titles and abstracts.
Always been my wife. She's shaking her head. Oh, no.
Well, if she likes abstracts, she'll like you, I guess, is the way
that's right. Exactly.
All right. And what are your passions, besides your wife? I mean,
I like motorcycling.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah.
What kind of, you had a Harley Hawk, I suppose?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, a couple of them, actually.
Do you wear a helmet?
Most of the time.
some occasions you don't give a damn, right?
Right, right. Well, some days I don't care.
I feel good about today.
Feeling lucky.
And it's been a lot of places to go with a hog up there, huh?
Yeah, it's a good riding area. Yeah.
Do you ride it in the winter as well?
No.
So you're not riding it anymore?
I'm not. Yeah. I rode about 2 weeks ago and put them away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does she ride on the back, or she got?
She has her own, but she didn't ride much this year.
Yeah, I can't call her. She. What's your wife's name?
Corey.
Where is Corey? Oh, hey, Corey. Did you ever ride in the back and just do the one-handed spinning, whatever they spin over their heads on the back? Yeah. Is that what first attracted you to Jim, or was it the titles and abstracts aspect?
We weren't doing either at the time we first met.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And do you do anything?
It has nothing to do with that.
You, a fisherman, or you dance?
No. You, don't fish. Don't you dance.
Sing in a choir or anything?
No. Shovel snow.
That's it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what you do up in Phillips.
Yeah. I guess they had some up there, didn't they?
Yeah. We have about a foot on the ground.
You got a foot on the ground?
Yeah. Wet sloppy.
Why don't you put both feet on the ground? So it's there. Well, because I heard in they got 50 inches at one place.
Yeah, but that was more Land Lakes or someplace. Like,
it was up near Minnesota. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So now you're
they
not
could
there.
Have it. Yeah.
You could have it. All right. Well, nice to have you here, Jim. So you're excited about this, and
yes, I am.
And I mean, all of Marquette's, I'm sure, out there listening. And so then, if we're going to do this, how should we do it, Sarah?
Well, somebody at home needs to pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669. And answer a qualifying question of your choice.
I'm glad you said that. Then I'll get one. Okay, this is interesting or not, depending upon who you are, I guess. But how much does Rosetta's lander, which is called Philae, is that correct? I think Philae. And the lander from the thing on the comet, how much does it actually weigh on 67P? It has some atmosphere, but not a lot of atmosphere. And so I think that has something to do with the gravity. Maybe not. Maybe it's just the size of the thing has something to do with the gravity. I don't care. I'm not a scientist. I'm just saying, how much does it actually weigh? This, and they said it was about the size, and I assume the weight, of a washing machine on Earth. But how much does it weigh on the comet there? Because I just thought that was interesting at the time. Michelle is in Oakland. Hey, Michelle.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
I'm excellent today.
Yeah. Oh, today? Not, yesterday wasn't so good, though, huh?
Comes and goes. Comes.
Ain't that the truth, though? You got something planned for today, a big day, or?
Well, you know, it's really cold here,
So
I decided to decorate for Christmas early.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
So you're up on the roof on a really cold day?
No, I'm in my house, and I'm going to put my tree up.
Okay, cool. Where'd you get the tree?
Yeah. I got it in my closet.
That's a good place to look for a tree. I have to do that next time. Michelle, how much does the Rosetta's lander, that Philae lander, actually weigh on the comet?
How close do I have to be?
Within an ounce.
Within an ounce?
Yeah.
So it doesn't weigh a lot. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just telling you. You said how close do I have to be?
Oh boy, I don't know. It's
what did you say? Within a what?
I'm thinking. I didn't say anything.
No, but I thought you repeated something that I said about the weight thing, and you asked me how.
Oh, an ounce.
Yes, that's right.
Oh my God!
It weighs an ounce. What are the odds on that? Holy cow! I thought that was really cool, actually. Like you go to another comet. It's a lot to go through, 40 million miles or whatever, and then you got to go 80,000 miles an hour, then they eject you onto the thing, and if you're lucky, you hit it. But you'd weigh an ounce.
No,
like a little bird. It'd be like a little bird. Michelle, this is Jim here.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Michelle.
How are you doing today?
Just fine. How about you?
He's from Phillips.
Yeah.
Michelle's in Eau Claire.
Both in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I know where Phillips is. I've been there many times. Yeah.
Oh, really?
What were you doing there?
Mm-hmm. Selling drugs.
Oh. Okay.
Well, I'm a recovering pharmaceutical sales rep.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Thanks for clearing that up. Okay.
How are sales in Phillips?
Not bad. Yeah, it's a pretty town, pretty area.
Okay.
Thank you.
Michelle and Jim, you are a team. You work together, and we have various categories, have we not, Sarah?
We do. They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Michelle, you go first.
Okay, current events.
Current events. Okay, here we got another truth or onion. I won't keep doing this, but I thought this is worth trying. Russian bomber fleets patrolling the Gulf of Mexico. Is that the truth or is that the onion?
I think that's the truth.
Truth?
James. What do you think, Jim?
I think it's the truth.
You think that's true?
Yes.
Okay, do you know that that's true? Is that what you're telling me?
Kind of sure.
Okay.
Kind of sure, well, is pretty strong for Jim.
I'm going to go with Jim then. Let's
yes, it's
yes.
Apparently true. You know, it sounds like onion, but I don't know what they're looking for.
All right.
Not disturbing at all. And
that's one right and zero wrong. And the categories left are people, places, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
What happened there when you were talking so fast that you...
I don't know. I was talking so fast. I think I had that moment where I was like, wow, I'm talking really fast. And then I stopped talking. It's never happened before. It was kind of startling.
It was startling.
Yeah. We'll see if we can recreate it in a little bit.
Okay. Jim?
How about odds and ends?
Odds and ends. This could be anything. Yes, it is. All right. Takes a ton of ore to make a gram of gold, or how many cell phones? You can recover gold from cell phones, you know. So it takes a ton of ore to get a gram of gold. But how many cell phones does it take to get a gram of gold? Is it 41, 97, or 19?
Cell phones? Or cell tons phones. Of cell phones?
Cell phones. This, this is surprising. It makes you want to save all those things.
What was the highest number again?
41.
What do you think, Michelle?
No, I'm sorry, 97.
97?
I don't know why I said 41.
Okay. You think? What do you think, Michelle?
Or 19.
40.
I'd say, I don't know. Okay, 41 was an option, right?
Yes, it was.
Yes, 41 was an option.
Let's go with 41.
That sounds good to me.
Is this a gut reaction? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even know there was gold in a cell phone.
Oh, yeah, there is. Yeah, 41 is right.
Oh, good job, Michelle.
Yeah, 41, so hang on to those. I had no idea. How do you get it out of there is the question.
It makes me think all those little recycling boxes are a scam. You know, recycle your electronics, those little boxes.
Yeah, no, they're taking the gold out of there.
Anyhow, that's two right and zero wrong.
Yeah.
And the categories left are people, places, things you should have learned in school, or science.
Michelle.
People. Is that all right, Jim?
Yeah, sounds good.
He's a people lover. Where do you go up there, by the way? Do you, in terms of hanging out, do you have breakfast with all your buddies and cronies and stuff?
No,
morning.
I eat my cereal alone.
That's very sad. Very sad.
Yeah.
Among bird owners, what percentage say their bird is an introvert? Among bird owners, they were asked, is your bird an introvert or an extrovert? Is it 17.34%, 25.53%, or 59.13%? Who say their bird is an introvert? It's pretty exact.
So the bird doesn't talk much, or what?
Statistic. What?
The bird doesn't talk much, or how would they know?
It's not outgoing.
Not outgoing. It's in a cage.
Yeah. That's a good point. I can see why you're in the abstract, but.
Oh, boy.
Stickler. He's a stickler.
What do you think, Michelle?
17.34%, 23.53%, or 59.13% say their bird is an introvert.
We did. Boy.
Michelle, did we lose you? I know this is stimulating,
no, I'm
thinking
but
here. Hang in there.
I'm thinking it would be lower, don't you think, Jim?
I would think so, but. Not sure why people would even think about their birds that way, but
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have a bird.
Know.
We did good on the middle of the road last time.
Applied if you have a bird.
I'd say
no one has a bird here. No. Oh.
No. Yeah.
Oh.
What do you guys think?
Lore. Yeah. Lore. What's your name again?
My name's
Kim. Okay.
He read the rules.
Kim says lower. Okay. Yeah.
Jim, you think lower? You want to go with the lowest one, or what do you want to do?
Sure.
Not necessarily. Well, maybe the middle. One guy with a bird, you can't go by.
Maybe the middle.
Maybe the middle.
Split difference, take the middle?
Yeah.
23, you're saying 23.53%?
Michelle, what do you think? Middle of the road?
Well, I think we should go with the middle, yeah.
That's right, 23.53%. Holy cow. Have introverts for birds, or vice versa. And actually, that 59.3% are 0.13% are the people who say their bird is an extrovert.
Huh.
Just give you some idea. And the 17.34% are people who don't know what this means.
What is the source of that quiz?
I don't know. I didn't. I neglected to put that down. I'm sure it's a.
You could question
any of this stuff. Let's face it. Why start now? So they could quit here, couldn't they?
Yeah, they have in fact won.
Yeah.
Oh.
Or
they could risk it all in the hopes of winning the mother load.
Well, what would you recommend?
I think generally the mother load has a pretty good track record. I might risk it all.
But if you say there's one more question, and if you get it wrong, then they lose everything. And
correct.
That would be a somber occasion.
It would.
Sad and horrible.
Yeah.
What do you think, Michelle?
So Jim, you feel like taking a risk today?
Yeah, I feel like taking a risk.
All right.
He's a risk taker. He's a type A.
All right.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go for it.
Okay. All right, they're doing it. A little encouragement, please. Come on. I don't ask much of you. All right, this is it for all the money.
And the categories you can choose from are places, things you should have learned in school, or science.
Okay. So I think, Jim, you could choose. The two of you could collaborate on this one, I guess, if you want.
Okay. School? What do you think, Michelle?
Michelle, did you go to school?
Yeah, I did go to school.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
If Jim wants school, let's go with school.
You want school?
Sure.
Feel good with school? Okay.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Maybe I chose
here it
wrong.
Is. Make a non sequitur using an oxymoron.
See what I tell you.
No. What?
Or just make a non sequitur. Or just make an oxymoron. I'll give you don't oxymoron. Have to do both. That's asking too much of someone. This is from, of course, language arts.
Yeah, maybe as they chose used to the call wrong it. Category, huh, Michelle?
Well,
yeah.
Non sequitur, you know. Let's start with that.
I don't know what that is.
What a non sequitur is. You don't know that? No. Michelle, you know what a non sequitur is, don't you?
Yeah, it's it doesn't really follow like logic or reason.
Oh, okay. Right.
So if someone would say something that would be just be out of place in the sentence that precedes it or something, then they've uttered a non sequitur?
Yeah.
Okay.
So like a question, like a statement sort of Jim eats broccoli. Jim should love to eat meat. That's a non sequitur.
Well, is it true or not?
I like both.
Yeah, that's not a good example. He likes both broccoli and meat. But your point that you're trying to make that is if in fact he didn't like meat, there's no reason to bring up the meat, and it didn't follow from anything that you said previously.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a non sequitur. Yeah. All right.
All right.
Would you accept that, Jim?
Sure.
If he didn't like meat?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, we can accept that. A non sequitur using not an oxymoron, but Jim. Holy cow! They've won everything.
Jim, you can bring the exhilarating aroma of bacon to your every nook and cranny with Mr. Bacon Body Wash. It drives dogs crazy from Archie McPhee. Then make a feast using our favorite recipes by the UW Eau Claire Student Philanthropy Organization. Conquer your next beverage with Das Horn, made without slaying any endangered animals. Comes with neck strap and display stand from Das Horn. And for personal revelations that prove the examined life is not necessarily worth living, read Something I Said. Dead, Innuendo and Out the Other by Michael Feldman from Terrace Books. Michelle, if you've ever wondered how the six quarks behave according to the theory of quantum chromodynamics, you may find out in Glad You Asked, Intriguing Names, Facts, and Ideas for the Curious Minded by Michael Feldman from the editors of Encyclopedia Britannica and Triumph Books. And then become an instant North Dakota State University Bison fan wearing a t-shirt from NDSU. Enjoy an award-winning Kringle from the O&H Danish Bakery in Racine. Keep those memos securely attached to the fridge door with a dozen magnets from the Iowa Art Museum, and combine learning and entertainment with What Do You Know, the Party Game, including audience, cards, and the amusingly erudite Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to you both.
Wow. And you get a Kringle.
Right here.
Those Kringles are good. Congratulations. We'll bring that stuff to you. Michelle, hang on. I'll make sure we get that to you. Thanks for playing.
Thank you.
You know, it never is too early to get your What Do You Know holiday office party tickets. Join us on Saturday, December 20th. Sun-Times film critic Michael Phillips and polka legend Steve Meisner will be there. Plus, there'll be plenty of food, nog, and What Do You Know cheer. For tickets, head over to notmuch.com. And speaking of the holidays, you can pick up the perfect holiday gift for your favorite fan of What Do You Know, also at notmuch.com. Yeah. Click on Shop to get to the What Do You Know store and browse through Michael's books, games, apparel, and more. It's all there for you at notmuch.com.
Well, they're all wearing it. Michael hair product is what I'm looking for. Thank you all for coming. Join us here today. Thank you all for listening. Let's listen to the band on our way out.
Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Megan Hannes, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Our technical director is Tom Blaine with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Kohlberg.
Everybody, go Badgers!
BRI, Public Radio International.